Good morning. Today's daf in the Dharma is Lamed. We're on Chav Tes Amud Beis. We're starting from the very bottom of the Amud. We're going to finish up from yesterday's Sugya, and then we're going to be doing a series of Mishnayos this morning. Let's go back to our mission from yesterday. We discussed a case where you're makdish something lizman. Now, I know we're learning the Dharma, and we're not learning Kachim, but nevertheless, we got involved in the Kachim Sugya yesterday, and you went over to a tree. You're makdish at lizman. It's going to have Kedusha until I cut it down. Once I cut it down, it won't have Kedusha anymore. Now, that's not exactly the wording of the Mishnah. You go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, so, Hare Netiyos HaElo. The Mishnah, you could find me back on Chav Ches Amud Aleph. I'm just going over the Lashon Mishnah. So, Hare Netiyos HaElo Karban Ad Shiksatsu. So, they're going to be Karban until I cut them down. So, or talazu carbon at shetisarif. And again, the Mishnah also gives another scenario of carbon. I'm sorry, of a talis. Either way, the point is that I'm makdish something lizman. Again, as we pointed out yesterday, I think also even the day before, when it says that you're a makdish it, meaning it could be that you made it, you were just matfis it via neder, and you weren't makdish it. But the way I interpret it, and again, the Ran vacillates on this point, but, I'm saying it kipshuta. In other words, we're talking about being makdishit. So you're a makdishit lizman. So from now until the time in which I cut it down, we'll have kedusha. And then afterwards, it won't have kedusha. What's the halacha? So the Mishnah just simply says, ein lam pidyon. You can't be poda it. That's the lashon ha-mishnah. Ein lam pidyon. Now, what does that mean? So yesterday we went through an involved discussion and debate amongst the Amoraim exactly what that means. But for our purposes right now, all we need to do is review bar pada. You want a thorough analysis of the Mishnah? Go back to yesterday's daf and go through yesterday's daf. We went through Bar Pada, we went through Ula, okay, and a lengthy discussion in yesterday's daf. It's not so lengthy; these dafim aren't so long, but a more thorough understanding. Go back to yesterday's daf. But meanwhile, we're just going to for now review Bar Pada. Bar Pada said pshat, and the Mishnah goes like this: when the Mishnah says ein lam pidyon, it means like this. Well, from now until the time that they're cut down. So they have Kedusha. You're poda it? It works. But then what happens? The Kedusha renews. In other words, renewable Kedusha. Right? A lot of discussion about renewable energy. So over here, renewable Kedusha. In other words, by virtue of the fact that you said that these trees are going to have Kedusha until I cut them down, it means that they're going to be in a constant state of Kedusha, eligible for renewability. So if a person's poda it, great. So you're poda. The Kedusha just goes right back on it again. What happens after you cut it down? So the Kedusha doesn't go away, meaning the Kedusha is still there. But in other words, after you cut it down, you're poda it one time and that's it, and the Kedusha is gone. So the difference between before and after you cut it is that before you cut it, Kedusha is renewable. After you cut it, Kedusha no longer is renewable, but it's still there. You're poda it once and that's enough. Good. And when the Mishnah says ein lahem pidyon, it means pre-kitsitsa. Pre-kitsitsa, it means that you can't be podet. And again, according to Bar Pada, that means that you can be podet, but it's not going to help you because the Kedusha is just going to go back again. Good. That's Bar Pada's understanding of the Mishnah. That's for our purposes right now. That's all we need to remember. Okay. So let's go. So, Yosef, Rav Avin, Rav Yitzchak, Rabbi Kamin, the Rabbi Yirmiyah, Bekamin, Nam, Nim, Rav Yirmiyah. Okay. Classic setup of the Gemara over here. You have an assortment of Amoraim who are discussing, deliberating. They're doing so in Rav Yirmiyah and Rav Yirmiyah right now. So he's somewhere between being conscious and unconscious. Good. So he's dozing. So v'ka'amre lebar padam damar padan chosos v'kodushos. And so now these Amoraim are discussing. Let's go over the Shita Bar Pada. Let's talk about this renewable Kedusha, right, which is a concept introduced to us down by Bar Pada. So now I wonder, They're discussing. They're in the base medrash, I assume. So Tisha de by Rav Oshia. So let's now answer the question of Rav Oshia. What's the question of Rav Oshia? And that is as follows. I know saying de by Rav Oshia. I know saying she prutos leisha v'amr la v'achas iskashi le'ayama v'achas iskashi la'achar she'agar shech. So he says the following. I'm going to give you two prutos. One for now, one for later. Right? To be mekadesh a woman, so you do so ayde kesef. Right. Again, three different ways you could be Mekadosh a woman. Right now, obviously, the focus is on Kesef. So you give her, and in order to be Mekadosh, you have to give her something which is the equivalent value of one pruta. So you give her two prutas. And you say it like this. Look, here's our life trajectory. And it is a funny one, I admit. But what's going to happen is that I'm going to marry you now, but I'm going to give you one now because after I divorce you, so I'm going to want to marry you again. So you know what? This will be now my, I'm going to say the word down payment, but I don't really mean down payment, meaning, and this will be Kesef Kedushin for our next marriage together. Okay, I'm not sure. Just, it's my best guess, by the way, like it's called a little bit of intuition. I'm not sure if she's going to be so excited by that idea. Okay, over here right now, we're taking emotion out of the discussion, and we just want to know, can you be Mekadosh her for now and for an event later on? In other words, renewable Kedushin. Oh, now you understand, by the way. In other words, it's a great jump to go from the Barpada discussion in our Gemara to this question over here. And again, by the way, of course, it's beyond strange. It, you know, it's dysfunctional. It doesn't matter. In other words, the question over here, just from the halachic principles of, can we do that? Can he be Mekadosher now and be Mekadosher for the future as well? So the Gemara says, well, it certainly sounds like from Barpada, the answer would be absolutely yes. So what we could do now, hachinami, have a kedushe. So just like in the case of Barpada, where you were makdish the tree, and you said it will be in the state of kedusha until I cut it down, and what happens now is that after every time somebody's poda it, the kedusha comes right back again. So over here, it's no different, presumably, in that you were a mekadosh woman, but you also gave her a second pruta, so that in the event that you get a divorce, and now you want to be mekadosh again, good. In other words, you gave her the money, so the kedushin should just simply jump on again, renew again. That's the question of that they were discussing. This was, by the way, Rav Oshia's question that he discussed, and these Amoraim now are using Barpada in order to answer up Rav Oshia's question. That was the discussion. Itar Bahu Rabbi Yirmiyah, and this is how the story usually works, and that it was Rav Yirmiyah was dozing, not anymore. In other words, he hears this discussion, and he cannot imagine that their thought process could be any more wrong. What's the comparison between the two cases? So Itar Bahu Rabbi Yirmiyah Amrlohu Maika Midamison. So he says a comparison is not a comparison. So Padan Hu La Padan Acherim. So Hachi Amrav Yochanan Padan Hu Chosus Vikadoshos. Padan Acherim Ain Chosus Vikadoshos. Okay. And so basically, let's break down how the comparison falls apart. In the case of the tree, so what you're doing is that you're being makdish it and you're being poda it, and so therefore the kedusha can renew again. Meaning that if the pidyon is being done by you, so then effectively now you're still in the driver's seat, and so therefore the kedusha can just simply renew. Ah, so there we could talk about renewable kedusha when you're the one being poda. But when it comes to the woman, so what happens at the point of gerushin? So what point at the point of gerushin now? She's no longer yours. In other words, it's similar to somebody else being poda her. And so therefore, that second pruta that you gave her at the first kedushin cannot automatically be used and served as a means of being mekadosher again, automatically, just right. Let's say it like that. Automatically, and so therefore the cases are not comparable. It would be more analogous to saying that somebody else redeemed. But somebody else redeemed, so then we don't talk about renewable kedusha. So the Gemara says that is the distinction to draw between the two cases. So therefore, Rav Oshia's question of the double pruta kedushin is not comparable to our case over here, the case of where you were makdish a tree according to Barpada, where it is renewable kedusha, because over here by the renewable kedusha of the tree, you were makdish, you were podeh in the case of the woman. So it's not you being makdish and quote unquote you being podeh. It's more analogous to somebody else being poda. Good. There is...
Somebody else gave the woman a pruta and he said, I'll marry you after you get a divorce from somebody else.
Right. Presumably, not automatic. No. Presumably not. Okay, so good. So that was the discussion. And that's the Gemara's conclusion. I'll just simply comment over here. There's a lot of Ron over here on this daf. There's a Ron on this particular daf over here that goes and describes in detail the halachic process of how kedushin actually works. It's a much discussed Ron. It's a quote unquote popular Ron. But you know my definition of popular means that if I know about it, therefore it's popular. Okay, so the So, but there is a much discussed Ran over here where this stuff right here on this discussion. So the Ran goes into detail regarding how Kedushin works, just to say it succinctly. So in other words, and it fits into the sugya a little bit better, right? The hard work over here is to put the Ran into our sugya. But basically the way that Kedushin works is that, in other words, it's not that she's going into his Rishus. What's happening in Kedushin is that she allows herself to be Hefker, and he then is Makdish her from the state of Hefker. Okay, see the Ran over here who goes into such a description. And again, it fits in a little bit better with our sugya. Okay, we are going to continue. We are now at the Mishnah. So we are towards the bottom of this very short Amud. And now, for the rest of today's daf, all we're going to do is operate with the following rule, meaning in terms of summarizing the upcoming Mishnayos, it's really simple. And that is that when you make a neder, so what is the definition of your neder? Lashon b'nei Adam. Okay, and we're gonna talk the way people talk. We're gonna understand people the way people are typically understood, right? And this is like rule number one by Nedarim. I don't know if it's rule number one, but it's up there in terms of top 10 rules of Nedarim. And that is that Hochen Acher Lashon b'nei Adam. So we talk. We generally speaking have understood definitions of how people communicate with one another, and that will fall under the category of Nedarim. And by the way, and the Gemara is going to make this point today's daf, and that is, what about if the definition of that word is different, let's say, in Tanakh, right? Tanakh uses that word, but in other words, with a clear understanding. We don't use the word in the same understanding. So what do we do? Do we follow Tanakh or do we follow the way we talk? The answer is very clear. We follow the way we talk. We don't follow Tanakh. It's true, by the way, when you're reading Psukim, obviously you have to understand the Psukim within the context, within the framework of Lashon HaTorah and Lashon HaNeviim. Okay, good. In other words, you go into the Torah on the Torah's terms in terms of definitions and understanding. That part's true. But in terms of Nedarim, when I'm making a Neder, I'm articulating, obviously I'm doing so based on my understanding of the word. My understanding of the word is going to be clearly defined by how people typically understand and communicate with one another. Good. That's what's called Lashon B'nei Adam. That's the rule. And now with that rule, the rest of today's daf is just simply application of that rule. We're going to go over many different examples. Example number one. Did I finish reading the previous Gemara? I mean, okay, I stopped, right? Itmar Nami. Okay, sorry, I'm going to read it. It's going to come out to be the same point. Idmar Nami Amar Rabbi Ami Amar Rav Yochanan Lo Shanu Ela Padan Hu Ava Padan Acherin In Chosos Kedoshos. Okay, good. Okay, good. All right, same point. Okay, good. Now go back to my introduction, plug it in. Let's go. Mishnah. So over here now in the upcoming Mishnayos, Hanoder Miyodei Yamuter Miyoshvei Yabasha. So let's say I make a neder, I don't want to have any involvement in Yordei Yam. I don't want to get hana from those people who are Yordei Yam. Yordei Yam, sailors, seafarers, okay? Whatever word you want to describe people who are out at sea. Okay. So Mutter Miyoshvei Yabasha. So now what you, so who's incorporated in your neder? So seafarers are incorporated in your neder. But the people who love land, land lovers, like me. So they're not going to be incorporated in your neder. And miyoshe yabasha asur miyoshe hayam. And conversely, in other words, if you make a neder from yoshe yabasha, so now you're going to be, Aser mi yorde ayam, she yorde ayam bechlal yosher yabasha. So if my neder was on yosher yabasha, so that's a more inclusive term. So what does that term include? Not only people who love land, in other words, but on top of that, it also will include people who go out to sea as well, because even though they go out to sea, but eventually they all come back to land. Okay. And then the Mishnah ends with a clause. Lo ke'elu shahochi mi'akol yafal, ela b'misha darko lefarish. Not people who make a short journey from Akko to Yafo. Akko to Yafo, okay, don't ask me in terms of distance, but in other words, those are not people who are really going out to sea. That's a boat ride. So the ela b'misha darko lefarish, we're talking about people who are on long journeys. Okay, now, that last clause of the Mishnah, it's not clear. In other words, there are two parts of the Mishnah, the Reish and the Seifa. The Reisha was talking about where you made a neder against your Dehayam. In the Seifa, you made a neder on Yoshvei Yabasha. And we learned together that in the Reisha, so your neder is not all-inclusive. It just simply means seafarers. In the Seifa, when you say your day, Yoshvei HaYabasha, that is an all-inclusive term. It includes people even who are seafarers. They are, because eventually they're going to go back to land. Okay, good. That's the structure of the Mishnah. There's a Reisha and the Seifa. And then the Mishnah ends with a clause. You know, when we're talking about seafarers, we're talking about people who are really going out to sea, not somebody who's making a small trip. Good. Was that modifying the first half of the Mishnah or the second half of the Mishnah? Gemara. Good. I know, but I also know what's coming up in the Gemara. You know, I like I normally say, I read ahead. So good. Okay, good. The Gemara is going to discuss. Okay, so our papa Rav Acha b'Rei d'Ravika chad masni ha-reisha v'chad masni ha-seifa. So the Gemara says, good, machlokas ha-marayim, whether or not that clause is going on the reisha or on the seifa. So man didni ha-reisha masni ha-chi. So now, that last clause, so here's how you're going to read it if it goes on the reisha. Ha-nodem yardei yamotu b'yoshe yabasha. You make a neder on your day, yam. That's it, you've had it with seafarers. So you're making a neder that you don't want to get hana from them. They're not going to get hana from you. You can go in either direction. It doesn't really matter. Whatever the case is that your neder now is going to include seafarers. So ha b'yorde hayam aser. So now, who's included in your neder? Seafarers. And now what we're going to do is we're going to take that last clause and then we're going to modify. I know my neder includes seafarers, but not all seafarers. In other words, but we're talking about not people who make small boat trips, you know, day boat trips. We're talking about people who are really going out there, spending days upon days on the ocean. That's who we're talking about. So in other words, what are we going to call that? We're going to call that a kula, meaning that if you're taking the last clause and putting on the first half of the Mishnah, so you're saying that I'm making a neder, and that neder is going to incorporate people who go out to sea, but not everybody goes out to sea. If you're going out on just a day's journey, you're not your day hayam. Your day hayam is talking about people who are out there for a long time. So even within the framework of people who go out to sea, it doesn't include all of them. It includes only some of them, not all of them. Okay, good. That's a kula. That's one way to understand the Mishnah. Phil, my guess is that you like that way. that would be your preferred way of understanding the Mishnah. Man demasni ha-seifa, and however, the other way to say it is that really it's going on the seifa. How do you understand it's going on the seifa? I know to be Yoshua Yabasha Aser b'yordei hayam. Okay, your neder was on people who are Yoshua Yabasha. Now, as we point out in the Mishnah, so that's a more inclusive term, meaning that includes people who are land lovers and even partial land lovers, meaning they go out, but they do come back. And now the Gemara over here is modifying. V'lo ke'ela al-chem yako li'afo b'vad, ela afilo b'misha dako l'faresh, ho v'sofa li'abasha salik. And here now it's a chumra, meaning that when I say that being a landlover, yoshvei yabasha is an all-inclusive term, so now what we're saying is, it's all-inclusive. What about the people who spend days, weeks, months out in the ocean? They're also yoshvei yabasha, meaning because eventually they're going to come back to land. Everyone comes back to land eventually, and therefore it's going to be an all-inclusive term. And I'm not going to get hana from anybody, which, by the way, in of itself is a little bit challenging, meaning you're not getting hana from anybody. Okay, so definitely be a struggle to live on this earth. But still, that's not our point right now. Our point right now is who's included in your neder. So if you're learning it on the Seifa, it means you know who's including the neder? Everybody. Even though you said Yosha Yabasha, it includes everybody, even people who are really going out to sea for a long time. Good. So those are the two ways to understand that clause in the Mishnah. Good. The Gemara is not poshet. The Gemara doesn't resolve which position is the accepted position. The Ran discusses a little bit. We're going to go on. Hanoder mi roe achama. Okay, so making a neder, I'm not going to get benefit from roe achama. Now, roe achama literally means those who see the sun. Okay. Don't look directly at the sun. What was it, 3 years ago we had that solar eclipse? Thereabouts. So I know demi roe achama. So aser af besumin. So over here now again, just go back to our rule that we laid out in the beginning of today's daf. In other words, how are we going to set definitions? Lashon b'nei Adam, however people talk. Now, mind you, by the way, part of the challenge of learning this Mishnayos is, as I already pointed out, and again, it's coming up in a couple minutes from now, meaning Tanakh is not going to give us definitions of how people talk, because again, the way people talk are the way people talk. But then again, we're learning Mishnah, and we're learning about the way people talk circa 2,000 years ago, meaning that also has changed over the course of time. So, okay, in other words, you know, maybe, again, people shouldn't be making an Nedarim, and it's not recommended, but in other words, maybe nowadays with, you know, as language and its understanding changes, so maybe the definitions also will change as well, presumably. Either way, we're looking at it now from the perspective of the Mishnah. You say that I'm not going to get a Hana from Roei Chama, so what does that mean? So it doesn't mean that you have to see in order for my Neder to be Chal on you. So, and why would that be? Hold that thought in just a moment. We're going to explain. So, Aser, Af Besumim, so now your Neder is going to include even people who are blind. So, Lonis Kavein, Zeh, Elamisha, Chama, Roa, Sam. Intentionally, what did you mean? You meant Roei Chama mean if the sun can see you. Meaning that if you're visible by the sun, so then you are included in my Neder. Ah, blind person obviously can be seen by the sun. So therefore he's including your Neder. Who's not including your Neder? Gemara. So my time, Midalo Kamra Min HaRoin. So La Fuke, I'm sorry. Midalo Kamra Min HaRoin. Ah. So the Gemara says, okay, because if what your intention was is that my Hana is going to include people who could see, so then, as opposed to people who can't see, so then I would have said Min HaRoin, meaning that would have been the language used to discriminate between people who could see and people who can't see. Ah. But that's not what you said, meaning you said Roei Chama. Roei Chama means that you could be seen by the sun. Oh, okay, fine. So who can't be seen by the sun? So La'afuke, Dagim V'ubrim. A really interesting collection of people who are not included in your neder. Fish and fetuses.
How about
MMA
in wintertime?
Huh?
Vegetables in
wintertime. Huh? Fish and fetuses. And never before have you had a grouping of fish and fetuses. I like the alliteration. But nevertheless, where else are you going to have them grouped together? Okay, good. Over here. So in other words, so they're not seen by the sun. Fish are always going to be covered by water. All right, totally understood that the water is clear and the sun's going to go through the water. But still, in terms of definitions, again, everything's following Lashon b'nei Adam. So fish, as far as the way it is understood, are covered and never exposed directly to sunlight. Therefore, they're not including your neder. Also, fetuses. Hana from a fetus? I don't know what to tell you. could be. That's a good example. Okay. So the anyway. Good. So next Mishnah. I know there Mishchore Rosh. So I'm making a neder. I'm not going to get any enough from people with black hair. So also bekarachin ubale sevos. So now, even though my neder, I said people with black hair. So let's say a person's bald, he's included in my neder. Let's say a person's got white hair, included in my neder. Even though I said my neder is only going to include people with black hair. Okay. So stay tuned. We're going to explain this in just a moment. However, what your neder is not going to include, it's not going to include women, it's not going to include children. Any crying shchari rosh ella anashim. Who is given this label of shchari rosh? Only men, and that's it. So therefore, your shchari rosh neder is only going to include men, it's not going to include women, it's not going to include children. Obviously, this mission needs explaining. What in the world does that mean? That when you say people with black hair, you're only talking about men? What's going on? Right, there are men that don't have hair. There are men who have white hair. Okay, we're all familiar. So my time, so that's a Gemara's question. Mi delo kamar mi bale ser. Well, if you wanted to be a literalist and only include people with black hair, you would have said bale, or for that matter, hair. You would have said bale ser. That's not what you said. So muta benashim v'katanim. Okay, fine. So far, all we did is just simply explain that the word black hair, even though obviously it's pretty clear. It's no. If you meant people with hair, you would have said bale ser. The fact that you said shchori rosh, so that's a term that is now understood, not literally, but it's just simply a figurative way to describe men. Men have hair, right? And again, even though men this particular man doesn't have hair, but he's Shcharei Rosh. That person's got white hair. He's also Shcharei Rosh. Okay, so we almost understand, but not yet, because in the Mishnah, who's excluded? Women. Women typically have hair. It excludes children. I'd say the same thing about children. They also typically have hair. So how come the term over here is excluding them? So the Gemara says, "Amuta banashim v'ketanim she'inikram shchari rosh ela anashim." My time. Obviously, the Gemara asks the obvious question over here: how come women and children are not included in the term shchari rosh? So anashim zimnin demichse reshayu zimnin demigla reshayu. Look, as far as men are concerned, so what's the story with men? Sometimes their hair is covered. Sometimes their hair is uncovered. Okay. Right. I know this segues into a discussion in terms of a minhag Yisrael to wear a kippah and have their head covered. Okay. That's minhag Yisrael. So, but nevertheless, though, just in terms of the general culture of men, sometimes they go out with their hair covered, sometimes uncovered. Right. They don't have a chi of gummer. They don't have an absolute obligation to cover their hair. Aval nashim lo lamichsei ketanim lo lamiglu. Now, as far as women and children are concerned, so they're always in a state. Now it differs when it comes to women. So they're always in a state of having their hair covered, meaning women cover their hair. Okay, interesting. By the way, the Gemara over here does not differentiate between married women and unmarried women. Just in other words, the term over here is described as women. Okay, so and I know that's interesting, but just to say the Gemara over simply, the typical position of women is that their hair is covered. In other words, a woman has an obligation to cover their hair. Okay, nowadays, sheitlach have become extraordinarily popular and expensive, but okay, we'll leave that alone. But in other words, but women typically are in a position of having their hair covered. So the term shchori rosh is not going to be a term that used to describe women because their hair is always covered. And as far as children are concerned, opposite. Meaning when it comes to children, the hair is always uncovered. So in other words, shchori rosh, meaning it's no chiddush, if you will, that the hair is covered because the hair is always uncovered. So the term shchori rosh is used to describe a population in which sometimes their head is covered, sometimes their head is not covered. And that population is men, as opposed to women, as opposed to children. Women are always in a position where their head is covered. Children are always in a position where their hair is uncovered. So we're not going to use the term shchori rosh to describe either one of them. Okay. The next, hanoder min hayiludim. Okay, so you make a neder, and you make a neder that you do not want to get hanar from yiludim. So mutar benoladim. So what you can do now is you can get benefit from those who are yet to be born. Meaning the word yiludim is understood as people who have been born already. Okay, so in other words, here's my neder. My neder is that the current generation, not interested in them. I'm interested only in the future. So my neder now of yiludim is going to cover anyone who at the point of the neder has already been born into this world. Not included in my neder is any children who are going to be born thereafter. Okay, so put a mark, put a note in today's date, right? All children born after my neder today, those are the people I'm going to get hanah from. It goes without saying, by the way, all these cases seem strange. In other words, right? What is motivating the person to make these nadarim? Okay, I admit all this is strange. We're just really wrapping our heads around one basic rule, like I said in the beginning of Shir, and that is lashon b'nei adam. Good. So the word yiludim is people who are born. Noladim are people who are going to be born. Min hanoladim aser min hayiludim. But when I use the term min hanoladim, so the word noladim is an all-inclusive term. In other words, right, we had this idea just earlier today that sometimes a term could be understood in the broader sense. Noladim, at least according to the Tanakhama, is understood to mean not only people who will be born, but including that also the people who are currently here as well. And Rabbi Meir, Matir Af Biyiludim. Now, Rameyer argues, and he says that, no, when you say the word noladim, it only is talking about the future, it's not talking about the current. And the Chachamim say, no, you misunderstood. When you use the term noladim, so what you mean is, mishadarko lihivaleid. Your neder is going to include people who typically give birth. I'm going to leave that right now undefined, and in just a couple minutes from now, we'll give better definition to what that means. Good. So in this Mishnah, here's what we know. When you say the word Yiludim, that includes the current people here on this earth. That's what my now is going to cover. It's not going to have coverage towards the future. Anyone born from this point going forward is not included in my neder. If you use the word Noladim, so here we have three different opinions in the Mishnah in terms of the word Noladim. We have the Tanakam, we have the Reb Meir, and then we have the Chachamim in terms of what it includes. Now, the Gemara's comment, Le Reb Meir, Lo mi bai Noladim, Ela mi man aser. So, according to Reb Meir, so the Gemara's assumption is, the Gemara thinks that Reb Meir, so when you say the word Noladim, it doesn't include people who are currently here. It doesn't include people in the future, born in the future as well. So the Gemara says, so if that's true, so who is included in your neder according to Reb Meir? So Chesur Mechzer V'Achi Ketan. The Gemara says, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go back and understand the Mishnah, add a little bit into the Mishnah, meaning add understanding into the Mishnah. Hanoder min ha'yiludim, muter b'noladim. So if I make a neder against Yiludim, again, that's current generation. So now what that allows me to do is get hana from those who are going to be born. However, min ha'noladim, when I say the word noladim, also be Yiludim. So so noladim, again, this is Tanakama's viewpoint. Noladim is an all-encompassing term. It includes people who are currently here. It also includes people that are going to be born in the future as well. Good. That's the Tanakama. That part, that we have not moved from that position. Rabbi Meir, Omer af noder min ha'noladim, muter b'yiludim. So the kihecha de noder min ha'yiludim, muter b'noladim. So the and according to Rabbi Meir, so when you say the word noladim, these are mutually exclusive terms. Noladim refers to people born in the future, not current. Yiludim means people who are current, not future. Okay. So in other words, that's the proper way to understand Reb Meir, and that these terms are both in both directions mutually exclusive. Amalei Reb Abba Labai Lamemer de Noladim de Misyal de Mashma. So that means to say that Noladim means what? So those who are going to be born. So Elamiata. So now here's the Gemara, meaning as I pointed out, meaning is Tanakh in agreement with this definition? Presumably not, because Shnei Banecha Hanoladim lacha. Now, we've been just taught in our Mishnah, and certainly according to the opinion of Reb Meir, as we just clarified, that the word noladim means future, right? And Yaakov's talking to his son. And he says, you know, Menashe and Ephraim, hanoladim lacha, who are, let's work with our current understanding, who are going to be born in the future. That's not pshat. Of course that's not pshat. They're standing right there. So, hanoladim lacha be'eretz Mitzrayim, hachinam, dis yaldin who? That can't possibly be pshat in Chumash. So the Gemara says, "Ve'elamai di yalidu di isyal de mashma." So the Gemara says, "Okay, so you're now telling me that the word noladim so means past tense." Elamiata dechsev. So the Gemara turns to another pasuk in Tanakh. Here we are in Malachim. Say from Malachim, "Hinei ben nolad lebeis David Yoshiyahu shmo." So there is going to be. In other words, I'm telling you what the correct pshat is in the Navi. There is going to be a son born to the house of David, and his name is Yoshiyahu. Okay, so the nevuah of the birth of Yoshiyahu. Now, is he born at this point in time? Not for generations. Meaning this is a nevuah about the future. So, hachinami dahava v'adai Menashe lo ba. Meaning, we haven't even gone to Menashe yet. Right? Menashe, the father of Yoshiyahu. So the, grandfather of Yoshiyahu. So we haven't even gone to Menashe yet. So over there in that pasuk in Malachim, so nolad over here cannot mean past tense. By definition, it means future. So ella mashmahachi mashmahachi. So ben nedar malachach alasham bnei adam. And here we go. The Gemara says it as clear as day, and that is that look, when you're learning Tanakh, obviously you have to understand the psukim correctly. Right? When it says noladim by Menashe and Ephraim, it means they were born. When it says nolad by Yoshiyahu, it means he will be born. So in terms of Lashon Tanakh, so good. So we know what the definition is, right? It's clear from the context. Good. Now, erase everything you know, and now when it comes to Nedarim, Lashon B'nei Adam, the way you talk, the way I talk, that is the accepted understanding of the Neder. What gets included and incorporated in the Neder is only going to be a function of the way people talk nowadays. I say nowadays, by the way, obviously we're learning the Mishnah, we're coming from the perspective of the Mishnah, but okay, even from the perspective of the Mishnah, it doesn't mean Lashon Tanakh, it means the way you and I speak. Okay, good. V'chachamim omrim, let's finish it off today, v'chachamim omrim lo niskavin zeh, ela mimi shedarko lihi valeid. Okay, now, you say the word noladim. So what do we have right now? So far, we've got two positions. We got the Tanakam, who says noladim is an all-incorporating term and includes people who are both here and people who will be born. That's the Tanakama. Rav Meir says, no, noladim is only a reference to the people who are going to be born, not the people who are currently here. And now there's a third opinion in the Mishnah, and that's the Chachamim. And say the Chachamim say what? The Kavan of noladim is only darko lihi valeid. Oh, good. As I point out in the Mishnah, what does that mean? I said, let's wait a moment. Good. We get rewarded for waiting. Lafuke mai, lafuke dagim v'ofos. So what we're coming to exclude over here are fish and birds. Fish and birds are not hivaleid. They're not noladim. What does that mean? It means it's not live birth. Okay, we have something in this world called mammals. We happen to be one of them. Okay, and what is the feature extraordinaire regarding mammals? Live birth. Okay, when it comes to birds, when it comes to fish, so they don't have live birth. What happens is that they lay the egg, and then the egg develops into the next generation. Ah, so when you said noladim, what you include in your neder are going to be anyone who live births. What's not included is going to be fish and birds. Okay, so good. So now your diet can include fish and birds, but that's it. In other words, you can't have meat. No meat. doesn't seem like they're included. Adkan. Good. Let's quickly chazer. Oh, so good. Okay. Let's quickly chazer our daf today. So at the beginning of today's daf. So we basically a runoff from yesterday's daf. In yesterday's daf, we learned about barpada and renewable kedusha. And so within the concept of barpada and renewable kedusha, so now we have clarity on Rav Oshia's question. Rav Oshia wanted to know, you give a woman two prutas, you say this is for now, and this one's for later, after I divorce you. So now the Kedushin should take effect immediately after divorce, because I give you a second pruta now, and based on Barpada. So don't we have an answer to Rav Oshia's question? The Gemara says, no, we don't. Because in Barpada scenario, you were the Makdish, you were the Poda. That's not the same regarding a woman. When it comes to a woman, once you divorce her, so that is considered Ke'acherim. It's like somebody else being Poda. When someone else is poda, the kedusha is not renewable. Okay, good. So the cases are not the same, and so therefore we can't take our barpada and plug it into the question of Rav Oshia. Okay, that was number one. And then the second half of today's daf, so we learned one rule, and then it's just a question of application of that rule. When you make a neder, it follows Lashon B'nei Adam. And so therefore, what's incorporated in your neder? Whatever Lashon B'nei Adam is. It is interesting, by the way, just making a simple observation, and it may be correct, and that is that once we know that it follows Lashon B'nei Adam, so what's all the machloksim? Meaning in the Mishnayos, right? The Tanaim are arguing, it includes this, it doesn't include that. Meaning, if there is a clear understanding of what Lashon B'nei Adam is, okay, I wish it changes over time. The Tanaim are arguing over the change. In other words, generally speaking, when Tanaim are arguing, they're arguing over svaras and principles. And over here, if it's Lashem and Adam, so what are the Tanaim arguing about? Good. I love the question. I wish I had an answer. But anyway, but good. But in other words, what we saw today is the rule of Lashem and Adam. And on top of that, we learned also that Tanakh is not going to help us in terms of establishing what the Neder includes and incorporates. Because, right, Lashon Torah Lachud and Lashon B'nei Adam Lachud. Okay, good. We learned that as well today.